Today, that's the way I feel. Ta-da. Okay. In case you guys are interested, that page number right there, that's the page in that little Bible there. But the rest of the Bible verses from there on, you're going to have to find them. Because I haven't got the page numbers listed for that. But anyway, today, I would like to talk to you about something that's close to my heart, something that I've been with for a while. And I would like to talk to you today about those less fortunate than us, or as you could say, those with the least. I'd like to start off, a good place to start off, in God's Word, Proverbs 31. But for this passage, I would like to do it out of the NIV because I feel it is more clear in what it says. But you can follow along in the King James there. It says in verse 8, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute." Verse 9, "Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you so much for the many blessings you have given us, Father, in the land that we live. And Father, we ask that you would open our hearts this morning to what you would like us to do, Father. And Father, I would just ask a special anointing on me, Father, that I get through this and put your words forth, the words that you want to hear. And Father, I'd like to also take this time to ask traveling blessings on our pastor, Pastor Junho, as he's traveling to California to the pastor's conference. And Father, keep him safe. Let his heart and mind be open to what it is you have for him there, and bring him back to us that he may bring a message to us on that. And Father, I'd also like to ask that you would watch over all of those in law enforcement, especially those in this body, and those in firefighting, especially those out on the firefighting, and all these people who protect us and keep us safe, Father. Also, we'd like to lift up our President Obama and ask, Father, that you would talk to his heart and let him turn to you. We thank you, we praise you, and we give you the honor and glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, the Bible does say the poor will always be with us. But let's look at it another way. What an opportunity for us to minister. Let's start with back when Israel was first forming as a nation after they had left Egypt. And Moses was talked to by God. And Moses brought back statutes and laws to the people. And he was teaching the people. So first of all, I'd like to start off in Exodus, where he was teaching the people on some of the laws from God. Now in Exodus chapter 22, one thing he said we go to verse 22. It says, "You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way, and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry." So right here, God is showing a concern for needy. In this case, widows and orphans. And then in a couple of books over, excuse me, in Deuteronomy, God was, as Moses was teaching the people with the word from God, in Deuteronomy 15, because when God was, it said earlier that not to afflict the needy and the poor or the widows, he told us not to do it. But now, we see where he's telling Israel how we are to treat them. So beginning in verse 7, we see it says in Deuteronomy 15, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. It says, beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. Well, in those days, the seventh year was considered a Sabbath year, a year of release, and it was a year that you forgave all debts. So what he's telling you, if it's them at this time, as if it got close to that point, don't say, well, I can't give to this person because I'll have to forgive his debt too short a time and I won't get my investment back or whatever. In verse 10, you shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because of this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. Now, during this time, we can see that God expected his people to act a certain way. He expected his people to be generous. In fact, Moses warned of the four dangers that they should look out for. Number one, he said, a hard heart. Don't have a hard heart. In other words, do not ignore what the needs are. Number two was a closed hand. In other words, not to be withholding what they need. And an evil thought. Well, you don't want to help just because it doesn't benefit you. And a grudging spirit, which is a reluctance to help. Now, all through the Old Testament, the poor are mentioned, and God's love is shown for the poor. In fact, in Psalms, which are praises to God, the poor are mentioned quite often. In fact, there's a couple of examples I would like to go to see them where it mentioned. Psalm 72. Psalm 72 is a very interesting psalm in that not only is it a psalm that Solomon wrote, it is also a prophecy. The whole of Psalm 72 is a prophecy of the coming Messiah, of Jesus Christ. And I'd like to begin in verse 7. No, pardon me, verse 4. Psalm 72. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break in pieces the oppressor. And then in verse 12, it said, "For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy, and will save the souls of the needy." So we see, this is a coming prophecy of what Jesus, when he comes, will do. A couple pages over, Psalm 82. A couple of verses there in Psalm 82. Verse 3. And this is a psalm that Asaph wrote. In verse 3 he says, "Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the land of the wicked." And one more quick psalm, Psalm 113. And one verse there in Psalm 113, verse 7. "He raises the poor out of the dust, and he lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes." So again, we see God holds the poor pretty high up. He's going to seat them with princes. So we can see that God's love is shown for the poor in a lot of things. In fact, even in the teachings of our Messiah, of Jesus, he said some very interesting things. One thing I thought which was kind of interesting was that in Matthew chapter 25, he was teaching about the kingdom of God, and he was comparing it and saying what things were like or going to be like in it. And as he was teaching, this I find interesting, that in verse 35, he says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it to me." So what Jesus is saying here is ministering to the needs of the needy is the exact same thing as ministering to him personally. And what more can we ask for? It is quite a blessing. Again, here's another story. Of course, you don't need to go there. In Luke 10, we all know the story of the Good Samaritan, how he was left by the road, and the so-called righteous ignored him, yet, as they refer to, the Samaritan came along and helped him. You could kind of compare that to the believers ignored him, the non-believers helped him. And yet, Jesus turned around and asked that most important question: who is your neighbor? Now you might ask, well, I don't ever see people alongside the road or anything like that, laying in a ditch to need my help. So you may ask, how can I help? What can I do? How can I be involved? Well, how about we start off with the most vulnerable that we can think about, which would be children. Again, how can I make a difference? Well, what did Jesus do? In Mark 10, he told us some things which I thought were... I lost Mark. There he is. Didn't have the Bible index up today, so I missed it. Okay, in Mark 10. When Jesus was teaching by the other side of the Jordan, and after a while and during this teaching, the people did something here which was interesting. In verse 13, we see that they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. And assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter in." And he took them up, the little children, in his arms. He laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. This shows us the concern Jesus has for children. And when the people brought these kids up to him, oh, they jumped right in there, going to protect Jesus from these bothersome kids. But Jesus was not bothered. Just the opposite. He was displeased at the disciples and said, "Let them come to him. Do not forbid them." So Jesus has this concern for kids. Now some might say, "Well, we got kids here. We got kids all over. What do we do?" Well, what was Jesus' example? He left them with something in Acts chapter 1. After Jesus was crucified, and after he rose from the dead, he came back to see the disciples. And he was telling them that it's not... In verse 7, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority." He's saying, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, I find that interesting in this fact. Basically, he's saying, well, where to minister? He is saying Jerusalem, in other words, locally. Judea and Samaria, nationally. And to the end of the earth. Kind of makes it worldwide. So we're not supposed to be just concerned with our own little group, but with others too. Now I'd like to talk more about, well, with the children. Poverty robs children of their childhood and takes away their future. 1/3 of our world's children struggle just to survive. Millions of them suffer from disease and hunger. They cannot attend school. They are victims of neglect and abuse. And these difficult circumstances force poor kids to take on heavy responsibilities very early in life. Children trapped in poverty are among the most vulnerable and the most at risk. And you might ask, well, where do I start? How can I do anything about this? Well, how about one child at a time? For today, we are participating in a national event called Compassion Sunday. Many of you have seen, well, this magazine and the pamphlet we we had back there on the information table about kids. And there's even a few pictures back there. Oh, this was the pamphlet. You've seen them back there. And this is about children around the world. And this event, Compassion Sunday, is about children living in poverty. And what we as a church family can do to intervene in their lives. Now, at this time, I was going to show a short video, about a boy in Nairobi, Africa, a boy named Moses, but due to technical difficulties, we can't do it. So, I'll kind of try to explain it to you. It shows a little boy in Africa and what happens to him. This little boy was basically found abandoned as a baby on a garbage dump. And some lady took him in, and he was helped through Compassion. And this boy's life was changed. And through Compassion, many things happened to this little boy. But that's basically one little boy was helped, which, of course, can lead to others, one child at a time. Now, this whole thing of Compassion is kind of close to my heart, because I've been myself personally involved as a sponsor of a child, well, for more than 10 years now, to tell you the truth. In fact, just to give you an example, when I first adopted Paulos, which is his name, I got this letter with this picture from. I probably can't see the picture too well. He's quite a young little boy there. And it tells us about him, some family information, the community he lives in, and the country he lives in, which he lives just outside of Calcutta, India. And just recently, I got this picture of him. He's now 16 years old. In fact, next weekend, on the 10th of June, he'll be 16 years old. And during that whole time, I've gotten pictures of him, and I can see how he's grown up. And I just recently got a letter from him, too. My little boy, he does write in English. But so there wasn't a translation here with it. But anyway, he sends me warm greetings in Jesus' name, and he tells me that his school went well. The weather's nice right now. There's malaria going around, but him and his friends and his family, they're all well. And that he's been praying for me. He's memorized Psalm 121. And him and his friends love to play cricket, especially because they won the last game that they had, and that they are doing a little outreach program in their neighborhood, and he got to help with that. And then he asks and says, as I do prayer, he says, is there any specific point he would like that I have that he would like him to pray for me? And that gets to me when he wants to do that. And he thanks me for my prayers for him and stuff. And he even drew me a picture on the back. But this is what it's like. Now I know that this has made a big difference in this child's life. But really, what a blessing it has been to me in my life. And in many ways, even when my wife was still alive, this was a great time. Now, there are others here in our congregation who sponsor children. The Suttons. Barbara, you got a picture and a letter right there? A little girl in Tanzania. What's her name?
Esther.
Esther, okay.
And she's a good drawer.
Oh, she draws good pictures too. Huh?
She's supposed to
make both languages. Pretty good. Okay. And so Jack and Barbara have a sponsor. Susanna, Peasy, where are you? You there? Her and Mike, they... What do you have, two children?
We have two children because we have two children. So we wanted to have a boy and a girl. And this is Lavanya. She lives in India. She is also a great little artist at 8 years old.
Where in India is she from?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Big country. Okay. And Simons?
We don't have his picture with him, but we have Musa Shaban, and we've had him for 5 years now. And he's getting to where he's not doing as many of the pictures because he's a big boy now. And he writes letters, and he's letting us know how he spends his money when he gets through the center he belongs to.
Okay. And Geese's? Pam? They had to leave? Oh, okay, they do a little boy too, and I'm not sure where country's from, but it's great. In fact, the church supports four different kids, and some of you have written letters to them. But today, what I would really like to do, I would like to invite you to join us in ministering to a child. Now, I was going to say as the video showed, but it doesn't. But what happens is, when you sponsor a child, the child receives health services, the child receives educational assistance, supplemental food, but most importantly, they learn about Jesus. So today, you're going to have the opportunity to choose one specific boy or girl and begin a personal relationship of ministering to one child at a time. You minister through letters and prayers. And sometimes even the opportunities come up that you could visit your child. I could have had the opportunity, but cost a little more than I wanted to spend last year to go to India. But now, I'm kind of disappointed that I didn't do it. I wished I would have. So try and think about it. Make a big difference in a child's life. And we have a table set up outside where you could sign up and you can help on a personal level with one child. In fact, some friends of mine, Paul and Beth Ostrowski, have come down from Tucson, and she's got all the information. She's the guru on compassion here for us. And she brought her helper with her. So, what I'd like to say is, so as we prepare our hearts to take communion today, and I'd like you to think about, if you could see fit, to bring joy to one of the least in the kingdom. So would the worship team and communion board please come up and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the precious gift of children. We delight in their playfulness, their ability to trust, their awestruck, wide-eyed wonder. Help us to reach out to children who have been robbed of these things. Help us not to neglect little ones trapped in poverty. Turn our gaze to the suffering children of this world. Give us your compassion and bring back the light in their eyes. And Father, we want to follow your example and care for the poor, as you call us to do. Help us not to look the other way or to reason that we can't do much to help. With just one child, it's not that hard. Give us your heart for the disadvantaged. Awaken us a passionate desire to speak up for those with no voice. Remind us that we can transform a child's life, releasing them from poverty, filling them with hope. We want to love as you do, and we want to make a difference in this hurting world. And Father, we know that every child is special to you. Every little boy and girl is beautiful in your eyes. You told us to bring them to you, and we want to do that. We ask for your help in caring for children in need. We want to give them hope again, and we want to see them smile and play. We know that caring for the poor begins with just one child. One child we are committed to helping. So let it begin with one child. And let it begin with us. We thank you, we praise you, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.